بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the classes of optimism, and the class of today has the title, Make Optimism Your Home. We must all agree that negativity surrounds us everywhere. Starting the day with newspaper with headlines of murder, war, and accidents, then you end your day in the evening with the news flashing images of death, destructions, and crimes on the TV. Through the day, you are pressurized with anxieties which may include, how long will I be able to keep my job? Do I have enough money to pay my rent this month? How will I support my old parents? How can I take care of my personal health and fitness? In conclusion, it is very easy to get stuck in the realities of this worldly life. So what is the solution? The solution is to make optimism your home. So can optimism ever become a way of life? Can it be the first place to which you return when challenge presents itself? Yes, we believe it can. It may take time for that to happen. Initially, it may take more effort than you would like, but gradually you will start to see life through a particular lens, the lens of optimism. You will feel an increasing confidence in your ability to turn to hope when hardships are around. You will allow optimism or hope into more and more aspects of your life. You will come, in short, to live from a place of hope. You will come to make optimism your home. When you make hope your home, you will find yourself frequently thinking of how things might turn out well. Even as you face new and uncertain circumstances, you will find yourself asking questions like these. In my situation, what would an optimistic person do? Or, given what I am facing, what is the best thing that might happen? If the short-term future isn't going to be to my liking, what about the longer term? As you learn to live life in this way, you help hope or optimism to become an attitude. As you acquire and use the hope strategies that work well for you, you will learn to trust your hope in Allah more and more. Gradually, your attitude of hope grows stronger. It becomes your nature to return to this attitude when hardship sometimes moves you away from it. This is the way of hope which will, at the end, make hope your home. Although you may not always see the way ahead clearly, you will continually be reminded that hope in Allah is real and it is not far away. When you speak, your voice will carry the tender of hope. When you reach out, it will be with the touch of hope. When you act, it will be with the spirit of hope in Allah, the Lord, the Most Merciful. So this is how we can make hope our home, and we can be always positive in life in spite of any hardship. And inshallah today, sisters, we will learn two surahs of the Quran, or two chapters of the Quran, which are a message of hope or a message of optimism. Three sisters, after Prophet had peace be upon him, received the Surah Al-Fajr, which is Surah number 89, revelation was suspended by the way of testing the Prophet for 6 months. Then Allah did resume the revelation with these two surahs, surah number 93 and surah number 94, which actually are messages of hope to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and to all the believers. Inshallah, now we will recite these two surahs and we will learn a very important rule of hope or a rule of optimism from the Quran, which we will memorize it today, inshallah. So we'll start now by recitation of surah number 93. We'll start with 93, inshallah, surah al-duha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَرَى أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
سورة نمبر 92.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. By the morning brightness and by the night when it covers with darkness, your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, nor has he detested you. And the hereafter is better for you than the first life. And your Lord is going to give you, and you will be satisfied. Did he not find you an orphan and give you refuge? And he found you lost and guided you. And he found you poor and made you self-sufficient. So as for the orphan, do not oppress him. And as for the petitioner, do not repel him. But as for the favor of your Lord, report it.
Thank you very much. So actually, sister, this surah al-Duha is surah number 93. We will recite also surah number 94 because it was mentioned in the meaning of the Holy Quran that these two surahs are so close to each other in the meaning, and maybe they are a continuation of each other. So let us recite also surah number 94, and then we will start by learning surah number 93.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
Did we not expand for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your breast, and we removed from your burden, which had weighed upon your back, and raised high for you your repute? For indeed with hardship will be ease. Indeed with hardship will be ease. So when you have finished your duties, then stand up for worship, and to your Lord direct your longing.
So actually, sisters, let us first focus on verse number 5 and 6. From surah number 94, surah al-Inshirah, okay, or surah al-Sharh, okay. Verse number 5 and 6 are the rules which we will memorize today. For indeed with hardship will be ease, indeed with hardship will be ease. This is the rule of hope or optimism which we will learn today. Okay, but in order to learn that rule and in order to learn why Allah the Almighty sent that message to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how we can get the benefit of that message in our daily life, we need to know the meaning of surah number 93 first and then surah number 94. We will start now by learning the meaning, tafsir of surah number 93, surah al-Duha. Okay, first, what is al-Duha, sisters? Al-Duha is the time between 9 o'clock in the morning around until Dhuhr prayer. This is al-Duha, between the early morning and the afternoon. Okay, when the sun is up in the sky, this is the time of al-Duha. Okay, and this is the morning brightness. It is called the morning brightness. Okay, this is al-Duha or the forenoon. It has another name, for F-O-R-E, forenoon, al-Duha. Okay, so this surah is dedicated to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a message from Allah which touches his heart with pleasure, joy, tranquility, mercy and compassion, as the revelation was actually stopped for 6 months. Then Allah again made Jibreel to visit Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he revealed for him this surah after 6 months from stopping the revelation after Surah Al-Fajr. When the revelation was withheld, the source of strength of the Prophet was cut off. Alone, he was left without the companionship. It was a very difficult time for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was unaware of the reason for the revelation to be stopped. So this surah was revealed to assure Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah will never leave him alone, and Allah will take care of him all the time. Allah is sending the message to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he is always with him and he will always take care of him. And Allah, in verse number 1 and 2, Allah takes the oath by these two calm and inspiring periods of time, the morning brightness and by the night. Allah is establishing a relation between the natural phenomena and the human feelings. Actually, sisters, when you try to connect with Allah, you can connect with Allah through two sources. Number one is the Holy Quran, and number two is the universe. When you look to the universe, you will feel the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah. The two best times to feel the connection with Allah is these two times, the forenoon and the night, okay, according to the Holy Quran. So when you are in a relaxing mood and you start to look around and you see the heavens, you see the clouds, you see the sky, you see at night, you see the moon, you see the stars, you start to feel how Allah is great, how Allah can do everything, how Allah is my only Lord, I can connect with Him, He can do for me everything, the one who is taking care of all this universe. So Allah the Almighty is taking the oath with these two times, okay, so that we can connect with Allah in these two periods of time. Okay, then in verse number 3, Allah the Almighty is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he never left him alone, nor has he been harsh to him, for he is his Lord, and he and Prophet Muhammad belongs to Allah the Almighty. Allah is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is his sustainer and protector. I want you sisters to feel the feeling of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and why Allah is sending to him this message in that verse after he stopped the revelation for 6 months. When the revelation was stopped for 6 months, Prophet Muhammad was unaware why this is happening. He was, you know, he was in doubt. Maybe Allah is not happy with me or pleased with me. Maybe Allah will not send for me any more Quran. What is going on? He was upset. He was very lonely. So Allah is sending this message to him to clarify to him that, oh Muhammad, don't worry. Okay, I will never leave you. And I will remind you how I took care, or I already have taken care of you since you were since your birth. So when Prophet Muhammad will remember how Allah was taking care of him all the time, this will be a source of reassurance to him that Allah will never leave him alone. And if the revelation stopped, no problem, it will come back. Allah is always taking care of him. He is the most beloved human being created to Allah, the Almighty, and Allah will be with him all the time. This is a message of hope and a message of encouragement to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is the way which we must learn from the Quran. When you want to send a message of reassurance to someone who is in doubt of his or her relation with you, you can tell her, I will be your sister all the time. Try to remember before, 5 years ago, when you were alone, I was with you. When you were sick, I already visited you. When you need me, I was always close to you. So this is a source of reassurance to you, my sister, that I will never leave you. So long I was good with you in the previous time, inshallah I will be good with you to the end of life. This is how Allah the Almighty is teaching us in the Quran how to connect with the people when there is some doubt in the relation. Okay? So Allah the Almighty is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad in verse number 3, your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad, nor has he detested you. Okay, so try to remember the past. Allah never left you alone. How? What is the proof? The proof is that in verse number 6, did he not find you an orphan and give you refuge? Okay, let me clarify to you what happens to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, according to verse number 6. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born after his father's death. So there was no father. His mother died at the age of 6 months. So when he was a baby, 6 months old, he doesn't have a father or a mother. Only his uncle. Okay? His uncle took care of him and his grandfather. Okay? But they were the best to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In spite of the fact they were never Muslims. But Allah the Almighty, who is controlling the heart, sister, made the heart of his grandfather and his uncle to be so kind to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in spite of the fact he was calling the people not to worship their idols. And they were still, both of them, they died, both of them, as idol worshippers. But in spite of being idol worshippers, and in spite of the fact that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was calling the people not to worship the idols and to worship Allah, the only God, but in spite of that fact, they were so kind to him. They were taking care of him. They said to the people of Quraysh, if you try to cause any harm to Muhammad, his name was Muhammad, okay, we will be the one to defend you. Okay, and this actually was very strange. How come they are so close to him, they loved him, they took care of him, in spite of the fact he is calling for a religion against their religion? This is how Allah, when he wants to make the hearts full of mercy, Allah will make the hearts full of mercy, in spite of the fact that we are on two different ways. How come we can love each other? How come we can close to each other? How come we can look for the benefit of each other? This is Allah, sister. This is how you feel Allah in your life. When you try to say life is run by 1, 2, 3, 4, I tell you, no, wrong. Life is not run by 1, 2, 3, 4. Life is run by the power of Allah. And Allah can make 1, 2, 3 plus 4 equal to 0. And Allah can make one equal to everything. This is Allah. So Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that you were helpless. You don't have anyone. And I made your uncle and your father to take care of you. This is number one. Number two, in verse number 7, Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he found you lost and guided him. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not happy with the idol worshipping. But he was lost. He doesn't know whom to worship. What is the way to worship one God? Allah the Almighty guided him, and Allah sent for him the revelation, and Allah made him the prophet and the last prophet, okay, and the one who had the only message which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment. And this is very important, sister, to know how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is very special to Allah the Almighty. To Prophet Muhammad, the only revelation which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment, and this is a fact which every human being must realize while we are still in this worldly life. Okay, I will give you this verse of the Quran, so long some of you are revert sisters, so that you will realize the blessing of Allah towards every one of us whom they were born Muslims or they revert to Islam, that the only religion which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment is Islam. Let us recite this verse of the Quran, because this is also a source of reassurance and hope to everyone that all All praise to Allah that I am following the religion which inshaAllah will be accepted on the Day of Judgment. We will recite now from Surah Al-Imran. Then we will return again inshaAllah. But this is very important verses of the Quran to be known to every one of us. We will recite from Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, verse number 85. So that inshaAllah we will be sure that all praise to Allah that we are Muslims, and if Allah guided you to Islam, this is the greatest blessing in this life. The greatest blessing is to be a Muslim and to follow the religion of Islam. 85. I will recite it so that inshallah I will clarify it to you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 3, verse number 85. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever desires other than Islam as a religion, never will it be accepted from him. And he in the hereafter will be among the losers. So this is a fact, sisters. Okay? A fact which every Muslim must be aware of. The only religion to be accepted on the Day of Judgment is the religion of Islam. So, as a Muslim, I must be all the time having the feeling that I am very thankful to Allah. I am very grateful to Allah. Why? Because Allah made the Islam my religion. This is very important. This is a very great blessing. And we will remember that blessing, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. Okay? When you will realize that you are having the greatest blessing to be a Muslim, inshallah. This is what Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in verse number 7. And he found you lost and guided you. And in verse number 8, Allah is again reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he found you poor and made you self-sufficient. Prophet Muhammad was poor because actually he lost his parents and he had a very minor job, but Allah the Almighty made him to work in the trade, and Allah made him self-sufficient. This is another story regarding the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how Allah the Almighty blessed him with, the provision. So in verse number 6 and 7 and 8, Allah the Almighty, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is reminding Prophet Muhammad with all the blessings which Allah showered him since his birth. Why Allah is reminding him with all these blessings? So that Prophet Muhammad will never lose the hope that Allah will take care of him up to the end of his life. So long he took care of him at the beginning, inshallah it will be always. If the revelation stopped, no problem, it will return. Oh Muhammad, never lose hope that I am taking care of you. Okay? Then, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I will return again to verse number 4, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. After Allah reminded Prophet Muhammad with all these blessings, in verse number 4, Allah is clarifying another rule, Quranic rule. And the hereafter is better for you than the first. Okay, this is a Quranic rule, sisters. When you have a goal in your life, make the hereafter your goal. Don't make the worldly life your goal. Okay, make the hereafter your goal. Why? When someone will ask you, what is the meaning, my hereafter is my goal, and why? Why? Because Allah clarified in the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad, the one who loved him the best, take care, Muhammad. Muhammad, peace be upon him. The hereafter is better for you, okay? Because it is permanent, okay, and it is eternal, and because whatever there is, you know, nobody knows about it. Because you will see Allah the Almighty in the hereafter, and Allah will give you only blessings. The hereafter, there is no test in the hereafter. There is no trouble. There are no hardships. There are no trials. Only blessings and ease from Allah. So the hereafter is better. What is the meaning of making the hereafter my goal? To make the hereafter your goal equals to obey the commands of Allah, believing that I am the winner. Not to obey the commands of Allah while I am so obsessed Okay, I can't enjoy life. I can't enjoy clothes. I can't enjoy mixing. No, I will live this life according to the rules of Allah while I am so thankful to Allah and while I am sure that I am the winner. Okay, I am not losing anything when I don't mix, when I don't drink, when I don't gamble. I am not losing anything. In reality, I am the winner. Why? Because I am on my way to the goal. What is your goal? The hereafter. Why? Because it is the goal of my Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. At the end of the surah, okay, Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and reminding all the believers, so long I took care of you when you were an orphan, so you must take care of any orphan. So long I helped you when you were poor, so I want you to help any person who is poor. And sister, this is the message of Islam. The mercy. You must be merciful. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, be merciful with the people around you so that the Lord of the heavens and earth will be merciful with you. Okay? So, if you try to think of that rule, sister, you will get a lot of benefit. Now, as a human being, what is the maximum of my mercy? Very little. A nice word, $10, a hug, dua, to do dua. This is the maximum of my mercy. I am a human being. Okay, but the mercy of Allah is unlimited. So, if you try to compare your very little mercy when you give it to the human being with what you will receive from Allah, the unlimited mercy. So who is the one? When you help the other people. Okay, this is the message of Islam. Try to help, try to give, try to forget, try to sacrifice. For the others, no problem. You are the winner. Because the one who has the unlimited mercy will compensate for you with his unlimited mercy. Okay? And this is the message which Allah is sending to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in verse number 9. So as for the orphan, don't oppress him. And again, sister, these are the commands of Allah. So we are supposed to follow these commands. This is very important. This is how Allah will judge us on the day of judgment. It is not only the prayers and the fasting. No, it is every act. Every act you do in the worldly life, it will be judged by Allah. Especially the commands, the clear commands of Allah. This is a clear command. If there is an orphan, don't oppress him. And again, sisters, try to think of the commands of Allah. Who is the orphan? The orphan is a poor child. He lost the source of love, care in his life. An orphan in Islam is a boy or a girl whom they lost their father before puberty, not their mother. This is the definition of an orphan of Islam. The one who lost his mother is not an orphan. The one who lost his father is the orphan before puberty. Okay? Why the father? Because he is a source of provision. He is the name of the family. He is the man. He is the protector. According to the rules of Islam, now maybe the mother is the protector. or no one is a protector. Okay. The children are taking care of themselves. They are not in need of their parents anymore.
So in Islam, if you lose your mother, you are not, technically it's not defined as being an orphan.
No. The definition of an orphan, according to Islam, is the one who lost his father before people.
Okay.
Because of the importance of the father in Islam. In the rules of Islam.
But it's an income. I mean, so they lost income. They cannot provide for themselves.
This is a provider from Allah. It's the father, the one who is supporting the family. And he is supposed to be the one who is protecting the family, the one who is taking the rules in the family, the one whom the family has his name. You know, a lot of importance of the father in the family, but unfortunately the Muslims are losing, you know, this reality by time. May Allah guide you. Okay, so, yes, because I can discuss every minor point.
Very good job, sister.
Jazakallah khair, Daniel. But you know, Daniel, regarding the orphan, they are very special for me, to tell you the truth. you know, because those are very poor kids. You know, when you start your life, you are very weak. You are a child. You want this, you know, to buy this game. You want to go to the movie. You want clothes. You don't have a mind. Okay, to realize that there is no one to give you what you are looking for. You are in a very special situation. Okay, so the child will never realize this fact. So the orphan actually is a very poor human being, not poor regarding the money, poor regarding the needs, the psychological needs. He is starting his life, you know, losing the most important element in the life, the father. So we Muslims actually must have very special feeling, especially that our Prophet was an orphan. He came to life and he never see his father. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he never saw his father. Okay, so, you know, sisters, all the time as Muslims, this must be, you know, you must have a special attitude towards the orphans. Okay, whenever you have any charity, try to look for the charity for the orphans and give it to them. Okay, try to look for any orphan. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, if you try to, you know, to put your hand on the orphan and try to give him the feeling of care and love with every hair in his head, Allah will give you mercy. With every hair in his head. This will give you the feeling how they are in need of care, love, compassion. Okay, and because of that, Allah is commanding us not to oppress them. And the second, in verse number 10, the second command from Allah, for those whom they are the petitioners, do not rebel them. Okay? Again and again, sisters, you know, in our days now, everyone will tell you, when someone will come for and ask for help, he is a liar. She is a liar. They are not in need. They are acting, mostly, to tell you the truth. Okay? Try all the time to have the good intention. Okay? And try to help, even with very little. But don't rebel anyone who asks you for help at all, under any circumstances, for the sake of Allah. And be sure, sisters, if you give any help to any person, even a nice smile, even a nice word, even just, you know, a hug, be sure Allah will make for you an outlet from a big problem in your life. You can't imagine how Allah will compensate for you when you will do these acts for the sake of Allah. Tell to the sister, don't remember my name. Don't remember me. Don't mention me. But I want to take care of you or to help you for Allah's sake. And then the most important sister command from Allah in this surah, in Surah Al-Duha. But as for the favor of your Lord, report it all the time, sisters. I want you, okay, to mention the favors of Allah. When someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, how are your knee joints? You are not walking well or you cannot move normally. I tell her, no, sister. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I have a lot of favors. At least I can still walk. At least I am coming to the masjid. At least I am continuing my activities. I am very thankful to Allah. So someone will tell you are thankful to Allah while you are sick. I tell her, yes. I am very thankful to Allah because Allah has the power to make me bedridden. But out of His favor and out of His blessings, He is still giving me the ability to move. Always try to focus on the blessings, on the favor of Allah, because this is a proof that you are a clean-hearted person and you deserve more blessings. But if you are, and this is actually the reality of being optimistic, all the time I remember the blessings of Allah, the favor of the people, those whom they are trying to help me. Someone will come and tell you, but that sister whom you are all the time saying that she was very good to you, she was also causing troubles for you. Mm-hmm. Yes, sister, this is what is going on always with me, because I always, alhamdulillah, out of the mercy of the Quran, I learned that lesson. I only keep in my heart the good feelings and the good actions. And I dropped completely, as I can, whatever negative. completely. So whenever I see any sister or remember anyone, it will come to my mind what is good regarding that sister. So I will be very happy to communicate with her, and I will mention her with good words. This is very important. In every one of us, there is good and there is bad in every human being. Okay? But to focus only on the negative, actions, okay? This means, sisters, that you still need to have more mercy from the Holy Quran. Life is very short. There is no time to remember the negative for the people. Okay, why? Because my goal is the hereafter. My goal is the paradise. My goal is to do good deeds. How I will do good deeds to people whom I only remember for them what is negative? I will never do any good. When someone will come and tell me, sister so and so is sick, I will tell her, but when I was sick, she didn't call me. She didn't ask about me. I will never call her. Number one. Okay, sister so and so is in need. Yes, one day I was not in a good shape and she didn't ask about me. I will never. Excellent. Your husband is in need of help? No. Many times I was in help and he never. Let him suffer. Let them suffer. Yes. This is the language of our days now. Let them suffer as I suffered. Maybe they will learn. Maybe they will change. This is none of my business. To be changed or not, this is not my business. My business is myself. Allah will question me on the Day of Judgment about my actions, not about their actions. And life is a test. And so long it is a test, I must expect that the people will not be good with me, because this is part of the test of the worldly life. So, I am living the life according to the rules of Allah or according to the rules of the human beings. This is how you must all the time discuss your relation with the people. Allah is there between me and them, or Allah is out of my equation in reality. Because most of the people, they say very nice words. I love people. I want to be with the people. I want to help people. Then, as soon as the telephone will ring, she is in need of something. I'm not around. Forget it.
Story. We were in the town several years ago, and we were driving in Basil's car. And he can see a bit, I guess, because he was tapping on the car, you know. And he's like, I need a ride to the other side of town. And we're like... No. And Basil was like, let me give you money for a cab. And he gave him $10. And he's like, it's $13.50 for a cab. And we just drove away. Because what do you say? I mean, some people, no matter what you give them.
Fala tarhar in Arabic, it means that not to say him, go away. You see, this is by words. Not just to rebel. Not to give him something materialistic. No, fala tanhar means that don't shout to him in a bad way. You know, this is the meaning. So you can tell her sister maybe or whatever. Now I don't have anything, but inshallah, if you don't want to give, okay, you can answer her in a nice way, but don't. Yes, this is the issue. You see, this is fala tanhar. Don't treat them badly or don't shout to them or be tough with them. Okay, so now, sisters, we will move to the surah, which actually is the one for today, Surah Ash-Shura number 94. In verse number 1, again, Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, and this is why it is mentioned that these two surahs were maybe a continuation to each other. Okay, because in verse number 1, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioning to him, did we not expand for you, not breast, sister, it is your heart, okay? But this is the translation word by word. Sadr in Arabic is all this area,
the puzzle.
Okay? So it is, but it means the heart, you know? So Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that to expand the heart, okay? It is not again the heart which is bombing. It is the spirit. What is the meaning of expansion of the spirit? Okay, expansion of the spirit is that equals to mental peace, relaxation, tranquility. Okay, this is what Allah is reminding Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I sent on you the tranquility, the peace, and the security. This is the meaning of verse number one. Number two, he is reminding again that and we removed from you your burden. Okay, that burden was the cause of that Prophet Muhammad was not in a good shape. Okay, actually this verse number 1 and 2 and 3, verse number 3, which had weight upon your back. These three verses are suggesting that Prophet Muhammad was troubled in his soul because of the difficulties against the message of Islam. These trials were very heavy on his heart and made him feel that he is in urgent need for the help and backing. And so Allah the Almighty called him to remind him that, you know, I am... Yes.
And just wanted to know, isn't...
For us is having shaitan with him. Okay, a known fact. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is having also a shaitan with him, but his shaitan was guided. And because of that, he has only the good feelings. Okay, and only the good intention. This is only for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so that he can convey the message and he can face a lot of trials, but he will never revenge. Why? Because, you know, his shaitan was guided. Because you always try to revenge, okay, when your shaitan will whisper to you, okay, to revenge. But for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in spite of the fact that he faced the most difficult trials, but he never revenged, he never hate, he never, you know, try to give hard time to anyone. Why? Because his shaitan was guided. Okay, but regarding these three verses of the Quran, it was mentioned that he was facing a lot of difficulties. He was living very hard time. Okay, only the poor people were the one who believed in him. Okay, only the slaves, okay, were the one who believed in him. The rich people were all against him. Okay, and they were treating those slaves in a very bad way. They were killing them. Okay, and the message was not moving anywhere. He doesn't know what to do. So Allah the Almighty was sending to him these verses of the Quran, reminding him with a very important fact, sisters. Okay, the verses of the Quran are not only for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The verses of the Quran are for every believer who recites the Quran until the Day of Judgment. Allah the Almighty is sending here a very special message. Okay, what is this message? So long you are a true believer, you are not alone. This is the message of Surah Al-Sharh. Okay, you, Muhammad, you are the Prophet of Islam, okay? I will never leave you alone. I guided you to that message. I make you to have the tranquility and the peace. I removed the burden of the message, because the message is a very big burden. He was supposed to convey the message to everyone on the earth, in spite of the fact he doesn't have anyone to help him at all. There are no factors of success. So how I will succeed? Allah is mentioning to him, Muhammad, don't worry, don't lose the hope. Okay, I am the one who removed from you your burden, which was very heavy for your back, and raised high for you your rebuke. Okay, what is the meaning of verse number 4, sisters? Who knows the meaning of verse number 4? We have the adhan of the prayer. What is the adhan? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Whenever the name of Allah is mentioned, the name of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned. When you become a Muslim, you say, I bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, don't worry, the message is heavy, but I am the one who will take care of it. Remember how I took care of you when you were orphan, when you were poor, and how I made your name to be mentioned with my name until the day of judgment. You cannot be a Muslim except when you believe, and all the time, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In every adhan, in every iqama, all over the earth, all the time, all the places, the name of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is with the name of Allah the Almighty. This is how Allah is giving the proof to Prophet Muhammad. Don't worry. Don't worry, I am compensating for you. I will take care of you. I will remove the burden from you. This is the introduction for the Quranic rule which is sent to every believer. Verse number 5 and verse number 6. For indeed with hardship will be relief. With every hardship there is relief. First, sisters, because this is the class of optimism and we need to be optimistic, you must remember that Allah repeated the verse twice, okay? This is the only verse in the Holy Quran which is repeated exactly twice, okay? Verse 5 and 6. Inna ma'al usri yusra, indeed with hardship will be ease, indeed with hardship will be ease. Why the repetition? Okay? Why the repetition, sister? To be sure, okay? This will happen. When you repeat the word once or twice, this means that, you know, be sure for reassurance. Okay? So, number one, Allah repeated twice. Okay? Number two, what is the meaning of this Quranic rule? Okay? The rule of optimism. Okay? Indeed. Okay? When Allah says, indeed, it is indeed. Indeed equals effect. Okay? This is effect. It will never change. With every hardship, there is relief. Okay, let me stop with this verse. I want to tell you a story how this is a reality in our worldly life. Because when you mention to the sisters, with every hardship there is relief, they will ask you, how? I always feel the hardship. I don't feel the relief. Okay, so I want to give you an example so that I want you sisters, okay, whenever you have hardship, try to search for the relief. Okay? Try to search for the relief and to focus on the relief. Don't focus on the hardship. This is the meaning of these verses of the Quran. So long there is relief with the hardship, so focus on the relief until the hardship will end, inshallah. So that when it will end with the minimal loss. Because any hardship means difficulty, means sadness, means, you know, a bad mood, means pressure on the immunity system. Yes, you must know that this is the effects of the hardship. Okay? So I want to bypass the time of the hardship with the least amount of loss. How? Through focusing on the relief. So I must look for a relief in every hardship. Yes. This is the command of Allah and this is the rule of Allah for those whom Allah showered them with His mercy. For the good hearts. If you have a good heart and you want to prove to yourself and to Allah you are a good heart, whenever you have a hardship, try to check for, to search for the relief and focus on the relief. Now I want to give you a practical example of the reality of that rule so that inshallah in every hardship you will get the benefit of that rule. This is a very important Quranic rule, sisters, for everyone and us in this worldly life which is full of negative. Now, suppose that... Go ahead with it.
What you just explained is with every hardship we should focus on the relief, but in the text they say with hardship there will be ease. And is that the hardship then the ease?
No.
Or the ease and the hardship together?
I will clarify to you I will clarify to you this clearly. You see here in Arabic with ma, this means that at the same time. Okay, so at the same time, when there is hardship, there is relief at the same time. But in another verse of the Quran, which inshallah I will give it to you next week, after every hardship, there is relief. Okay, this is inshallah next week. But now we are with the rule that with every hardship, there is relief. Now I will show you how with every hardship there is relief. And inshallah next week we'll have another example. Now if we have a young couple, okay, whom they were always fighting. Okay, why? Because both of them were working. Okay, he was an engineer, she was a teacher. He wanted her to stay at home as he believed that they are not in need of her salary. Okay, but she insisted that her salary is important for a better life for them. Okay, after 3 years of fighting, suddenly he lost his job. Okay, and he had to stay at home. It was a great hardship for him. Okay, this is the hardship. Okay, when he stayed at home, he noticed the big effort she is doing to take care of the house and the work. She started her day at 5:30, praying and then preparing the breakfast to go, adjusting the beds, preparing the lunch. Quickly she put her clothes. On returning, she will cook quickly, prepare the laundry, clean the kitchen. So he felt that she is sacrificing her health and her time for the sake of the family. He felt very guilty for his fights with her because now she is the one providing for the family from her salary. He is not working, so her salary is important. So he started to realize that she is not a very bad person. As he was thinking, she is not so selfish. You know, she is not only after her points of view. No, the fact is that she has the right point of view. Okay, that her salary is important for the family. And also, she was very kind with him while he was at home not working. She never made him to feel that she is the one spending. She was very compassionate. She was taking care of him. She was encouraging him that he will find a job. She treated him in a very good way. So he realized while he was at home that the best blessing in his life is this wife. Okay, there was something very good in his wife, in his life. He never appreciated. His wife is more important than the job. To have a good heart like that wife is not an easy issue. He can find a job, but he cannot find a wife like that wife. So after 6 months, when he was back to work, he realized that with every hardship, there is relief. Okay, he got the benefit of the hardship. He became more close to her. He realized that he is in love with her. And she also realized that she is in love with him. They spent very nice 6 months while he was not working. So with every hardship, there is relief. You know, when you believe that there is relief, you will find the relief. But if you want to focus on the hardship, it will be your problem. You will not feel the relief and the hardship will break you completely. This is the problem of the hardship, sisters. Hardships actually are very dangerous for your spirit, for your health, for your relations. Why people are having depression? Why? You can ask yourself, this is the effect of the hardship. Only hardship, but hardship with a relief, inshallah, you will win. You will win from the hardship. Those couples, their life for the rest of the life was more better after that hardship because they believe that with every hardship there is relief. So what is the benefit of that lesson? The footage of optimism or hope is hardship never comes up. I want you to believe in this, sister, for your own sake. Okay, not for the sake of anyone. Allah is not in need of anyone. Allah is not in need of you to have hope. This is your problem in the test of the worldly life. Hardship never comes absolute. There must be an ease with every hardship. What is the benefit of this message? The benefit is that during hardships we are sad and upset, believing that we don't deserve to live this difficulty, a feeling which disturbs the relation with Allah, we are blaming Allah during the hardship. Okay? Allah is clarifying that He will send ease with every hardship. So, as a believer in the verses of the Quran, try to search for the ease, try to focus on the ease, so that inshallah, number one, you will minimize the effect of the hardship in your health and on your life, okay? And you will spend the difficult time of the hardship with the minimum loss, and you will receive the reward of being patient with the hardships of Allah. If you are patient regarding the hardships of Allah, this means that you are not complaining, you are not blaming Allah, okay, you are not in a bad relation with Allah the Almighty, you are accepting the decree of Allah. This is equal to being patient. This is a reward. So for every minute of the hardship, you will be rewarded. This is number one. Number two, you believe that there is ease with every hardship. Allah will shower you with His mercy, inshallah, and the hardship will end. And inshallah, after every hardship, there will be a relief. And this is what we will learn, inshallah, next week. Now we will make the dua and we will continue next week. But let us repeat together, inshallah, the rule of today. With every hardship, there is ease. I want you to repeat with me, sisters, five times. Close your eyes, sisters. Let us make like the other people. Don't you, in reality, close your eyes. Try to think of what hardship you have in your life and send a message of hope to your spirit from the depths of your heart, from the reality of the belief in the power of Allah and the mercy of Allah. And say to yourself from the depths of your heart, repeat after me, sisters, with every hardship there is relief.
With every hardship there is relief.
From the depths of your heart, from the depths of your heart, you are sure 100%, with every hardship there is relief.
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 O Allah, our Lord, the Almighty, make it easy for You to find that relief and to focus on it, and inshallah to make for us an end from any hardship. And let us make the dua, inshallah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause Your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause Your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the heart, keep our heart firm in Your religion and keep it contented with Your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom You have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom You have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to Your care with those whom You have taken to Your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in You from a decline in Your favor, from a change in Your protection, from Your sudden punishment and all Your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet You. O Allah, our Lord, we ask Your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You to increase Your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.